You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Yeah, we'll get to that story here in just a minute.
What is going
about
on?
About the Wisconsin dad who was out kayaking, faked his own death. The only reason they knew he was still alive, A, no body was ever found in the lake or the river. And he also pinged at the Canadian border when his passport was scanned. He apparently was having, I think he's a dad of three or something. We'll get to it in a little bit. But I'll just give you the bones of the story. He apparently was emailing with some woman in Eastern Europe. And, you know, everybody's like, is he alive? Is he dead? What's going on? Where is he? And so he, about a week ago, a little over a week ago, he phoned authorities to let them know that he was alive. They asked him questions only he would know the answer to.
Yeah, they wanted proof of life after the failed fake death.
So they asked him for proof that he was alive. He sent them a video. They asked him, will you tell us where you are? And he said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean,
is it a crime to fake your own death? If you're not trying to profit from it, is it a crime just to walk away from the life that you knew for whatever reason?
I think
Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend, remember? Just poof, disappeared.
I mean, if you fake your own death, then the law will want to get involved.
Why?
But you can just walk away.
No.
You're an adult.
Did he fake his own death? Or maybe one day he was out kayaking and said, you know, I think I'm going to try a different life.
Rolled himself
out of the kayak, swam to shore, and walked away.
Or is it that we're saying he faked his own death? Maybe he just kayaked to Canada.
Right.
No, they found the kayak and his helmet.
Well, that doesn't mean he tried to fake his own death.
His name is Ryan Borgwart.
Oh. I'd want a new name, too.
And he spoke.
Wow.
The sheriff showed a video that Borgwart sent to police on November 11th. Police do not know where he is, but they believe it's somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Listen to this local news story from the ABC affiliate there. After his overturned kayak and life jacket were discovered in the lake, responders believed the missing dad had drowned. Their assumption that he was dead did not necessarily mean this guy faked his own death. I think it's possible.
Well, I think
that he just got fed up with the white picket fence and was like, I'm out of here. I like Celine Dion. Canada seems nice.
Well, earlier this month, apparently they found out that he had gotten a new passport and he'd taken out a $375,000 life insurance policy.
Okay, now the minute you start cashing in, if he was to cash in on that, then you've broken the law. He cleared his browsers the day he disappeared. Again, not illegal.
No.
Not illegal.
With a woman in Uzbekistan.
Okay, not illegal.
So they say he could be charged with obstructing the investigation into his own disappearance. But so far, no charges have been filed.
Was he obstructing it if he just left? He did stash an e-bike near the boat launch. Well, so that would suggest some level of premeditation.
He rode that e-bike 70 miles to Madison. From there, he took a bus to Detroit, then boarded a bus to Canada, and got on a plane in Canada.
He's been watching too many movies.
Clearly. Listen to this. He apparently told authorities he didn't think responders would spend more than 2 weeks searching for him. And, quote, he feels bad about the amount of hours we put in.
Yeah, he disappeared, I believe it was in August, if I'm not mistaken. Because I've been sitting on this story for a couple of days. And, you know, with no proof that he was still really alive until this video surfaces where, you know, he's just trying to put everybody at ease. In the video, he says, by the way, I'm safe and secure. No problem. I hope this works. Asked, will you tell us where you are? He said, no.
The family wants him home. And
yeah, but do you really?
No. Authorities say they want him to come back to, quote, clean up the mess he has created. The sheriff said authorities will keep pulling at his heartstrings. He needs to come home to the kids. The sheriff, appearing emotional, ended one of the news conferences by saying, Christmas is coming. What better gift could he give his kids than to be there at Christmas? Let me tell you how that would work out when he walks back in that door.
Boy.
But assuming that this person who has gone to this length, from what we can tell, to skedaddle and fly across to the other side of the world,
Met a woman online.
That person's going to come back and clean up his mess?
Not happening. I guarantee you he met a woman online.
Yeah, she's from Uzbekistan. By the way, the woman that they reached out to find Ryan Borgwart spoke Russian. I believe Uzbekistan is...
In Central Asia.
Yeah, I believe
former Soviet republic.
I believe they speak Russian there, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of Russians live there.
Yeah. Took out the $375,000 life insurance policy in January, but the policy was for his family, not for him. Authorities tried every phone number and email address on the laptop. They eventually reached a Russian-speaking woman who connected them with Borgwart.
Duh.
It's unclear whether she is the woman in Uzbekistan. The video was shot in what looked like an apartment.
He's believed now to be in Eastern Europe, one of the stories says.
Well, Uzbekistan is in Central Asia. Dan's right. It's...
They could be in Eastern Europe.
And, let me check.
One of the stories just says they believe him to be in Eastern Europe. Again, is it illegal just to walk away? It's not like he penned some sort of, I'm checking out of life, you know, goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, sweet world.
See you on the other side.
It's not like he did that. He just abandoned a kayak and...
And then followed a movie plot.
He biked out of there.
Is it illegal because the obstruction thing is that he won't tell him where he is?
Do you not have the right to disappear as an adult? Like,
is that, well, because if the police are, is that the problem? Is that that's how the obstruction is coming across?
Come and get me.
I know. I'm just wondering, is that the reason?
The local police and sheriff's department have probably expended a lot of overtime and gasoline and other expenses in this search.
Oh, yeah, they want $30,000.
And so they want the money back because they feel they wasted their time.
They want $30,000.
Well, they did.
Well, I mean, you know.
How much do you have to hate your life and your circumstances to overturn your kayak in a lake?
Stash an e-bike.
Ride that thing for 70 miles. And then, by the way, his last text to his wife was at 11 p.m. that night in August, and he said he was headed to the shore after kayaking. So he must have ridden that electric bike in the middle of the night for 70 miles.
That was a good charge on that thing.
Yeah. Again, I don't, while unconscionable to do that to your children.
Agreed.
Okay. Holidays are coming. I get that. It is unconscionable.
I mean, it would be bad on a Tuesday.
I fail to see where it is necessarily illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Good God, man. Just get a divorce.
Wisconsin does not recognize abandonment as grounds for divorce, et cetera. There's no spousal abandonment.
I wonder in this case, Dan, if they would.
913. this is an emergency divorce,
Your
Honor.
Does he have a lawyer? We don't know. Where is he?
We don't know. Will you tell us where you are?
No.
Hanging out with DB Cooper.
913-586-7798. Alex in Iowa and the others, hang tight. We'll get with everybody in just a moment. 913-586-7798. All right, welcome back. Story from the Associated Press about a Wisconsin man who faked his own drowning over the summer and abandoned his wife and three kids. Police were looking for him. They thought that Ryan Borgwart had drowned, and the Green Lake County Sheriff's Department went looking for him. They couldn't find him. No body was found in the lake. He has surfaced. It is believed that he might be somewhere in either Eastern Europe or Central Asia. Uzbekistan. He was communicating with a woman in Uzbekistan, which is north of Afghanistan, before his disappearance. Alex in Iowa. Hello.
Hey, Alex.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. Thank you.
So, couple things. One, you know, Wisconsin had a very terrible ice fishing season. So if the lakes freeze a lot sooner than it does for us, I mean, you don't get your fishing, you kind of get depression. So I think, you know, that's probably the reason why. I don't think it's the family. I think it's just he needs his ice fishing. Okay. But on a serious note, a lot of us think of stuff, you know, last minute when it's too late. We're all connected through the airwaves. That's the reason why I listen on the app. But we got to get coats for our kids. So if you guys can text in or go to Pinnacle Bank We need coats for Kansas City kids. So,
amen.
Thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you for the call, Alex.
All right.
Thank you.
Be well, buddy. Thank you so much. Jason in North Kansas City. Hello, Jason. Hey, Jason, you need to pot down your radio. We'll come back to you in a minute. John in Gladstone. John, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, at a minimum, they can charge this guy with flight to avoid prosecution and testimony. Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 49, 1073 of the U.S. Code.
Flight to avoid police is against the law, but what if he didn't... I understand if police are actively looking for you and you know it, John, like you've committed a crime and you are on the lam and you flee, that is a crime. I don't know that I agree that this is flight to avoid police. He was just leaving.
Flight to avoid wife.
Flight to avoid prosecution or testimony.
For what? At the time, there was no need for him to testify or be prosecuted for anything.
Probably a good lawyer could say, why would he leave? I might be able to get him on that. Maybe.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting.
I feel like flight to avoid prosecution
is have to be prosecuted
once you've done something.
Right.
And they're like, okay, you're gonna post bond here, and you're gonna sign your name here, and you are gonna agree to show up in court in a few weeks. Then you flee. Absolutely illegal. That's not what he did here.
Why even stage your own death? Why not just
file for divorce?
Well, that could be expensive for him. Why not just get up one day and tell your wife you're going to work, drive to Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, take yourself off Life 360, drive to Detroit, go over the border, catch a flight to Uzbekistan or Belarus or wherever you're going to go.
You would still be considered missing. Don't you remember that case in the last year or two where a man died somewhere in the Northeast?
It was Connecticut.
Connecticut. And they discovered, and he lived a long life. He died at like age 70. Mm-hmm. They discovered when they went in and he was found dead in the home, natural causes.
It was an apartment that he shared with another man.
His roommate was like, you know, he's got some effects in there, like whatever. He always kept to himself. It turned out that man had done this exact same thing and walked away, 30 years ago?
He disappeared 30 years ago. His family, his wife and kids were in Eastern New York.
Yeah.
They lived, he literally moved 40 miles to the east. He was 40 miles away from his family. He changed his name. I remember this story well. He moved to Connecticut, changed his name, and lived with some guy. I don't think that this was a romantic relationship. It was just a roommate. And he died of a heart attack, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think he was as old as you think he was. I think he was in his late 40s or early 50s.
Oh, no, he was much older than that.
Really?
Yes. And they don't, to this day, they don't know why. They just don't know.
He never spoke of his family.
So is that a crime? I think he was an active listed missing person for 25 years or whatever.
The only crime I think he may have committed is the obstruction of this case. Staging your own death. Which would force police to start looking for
him. In this case with the kayak.
Right.
Because in the Connecticut case, wasn't a staged death. He just
got in the car and never
came away.
Back. Mm-hmm. That's right. In the Wisconsin case, I think they might be able to pin him on obstruction, but that's not going to be a charge that would require an extradition from a foreign country. Nobody's going to extradite you for that. I mean, it would cost too much money just to get you back.
Would this also count as fraud because he got the $375,000 life insurance policy?
No. It wouldn't be fraud because he didn't make a claim on it.
If his wife made a claim on it, would it then be? Would she get charged with fraud?
No. Now, they'd probably come knocking on your door and want the money back in a month or two.
The only way that she could be charged with fraud is if everybody just presumed that he had drowned and she, not knowing any better or any different, filed a claim on that life insurance policy, that would be perfectly legal.
The man's name was Robert Hoagland from Newtown, Connecticut.
Right,
disappeared
right.
in 2013, was found dead in 2022, living under an assumed name in New York.
Or maybe his family was in Connecticut and he moved to New
York. He just walked away. He left behind his wallet, cell phone, and medication. I mean, you want to talk about therapy for a lot of your life. I mean, if you were the family of like a Robert Hoagland and you just nobody, maybe they had a memorial service after 3 years or 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they find him dead, and you have no explanation as to why someone would have behaved that way.
Let's go to Jason in North Kansas City, 586-7798. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Bonnie.
He still has an app.
Jason is just, like, listening along. He's just riding it out, listening on his phone.
Jason, we're 8 seconds ahead of you. You've got to turn that radio down. Let's see if he can. It's been over 8 seconds. Jason, hello.
Nope.
we'll just keep checking in with Jason throughout the afternoon. 913-586-7798. By the way, one of the most brilliant pieces of art, the banana with the duct tape, has sold. They were expecting it would fetch between $1 and $1.5 million. It did not.
When we come back, we will tell you.
It was much more.
Scott spilled the beans in the newsroom, and I, you know what? I got nothing anymore, Scott. I got nothing.
Jason in North Kansas City. Hello.
They were expecting.
Maybe Jason needs assistance.
Dana Wright.
Should we check on him?
That's Quentin filling in today for Sam. My name's Scott Parks. I'm KMBZ. Hey, by the way, if you missed our interview, and man, it was fun, with Bridget Everett from Somebody Somewhere on Max. The show is set in Manhattan, Kansas. We're going to re-air that interview at 5:15 this afternoon, and she was a delight. Tons of fun. Story here from NBC News. Grocery inflation just hit its peak after a single banana was sold for $6.2 million.
Good God. What is wrong with people?
Fools and their money are easily parted. Cryptocurrency entrepreneur Justin Sun dropped more than $6 million on the piece of produce because it was duct taped to a wall. You guys have all seen this. The artwork, and I use that term very loosely, is called Comedian. It was created by an Italian artist. After battling six others for the artwork at Sotheby's in New York on Wednesday, Sun, who is the founder of cryptocurrency Tron, paid for the fruit of his labor in crypto. Said Sun in a statement on Twitter, "I believe this piece will inspire more thought and discussion in the future and will become a part of history. I am honored to be the proud owner of this iconic work and look forward to it sparking further inspiration and impact for art enthusiasts around the world." By the way, the billionaire plans to eat his investment. "In the coming days, I will personally eat the banana as part of this unique artistic experience, honoring its place in both art history
and pop culture. People are all standing around him, especially every art critic in a hoity-toity, you know, silk suit going, ooh.
What does he mean when he's eating that banana?
What does he mean as he eats that banana?
The banana was not included in his winnings.
So he's going to eat
a banana.
A banana.
Yeah. Okay. He said, by the way, he went on to say, "This is not just an artwork. Mm-hmm. It represents a cultural phenomenon that bridges the worlds of art, memes, and the cryptocurrency community."
Okay.
Comedian debuted at Art Basel Miami in 2019, where it was priced at $120,000.
Should have sat on that.
The image of a banana duct taped to a wall went viral on social media and attracted such large crowds that the artwork had to be taken down.
How would you feel if you were one of the heirs to Monet?
Oh, you're hiking your prices.
All right, listen to this from the Clay County Sheriff's Department on Twitter. Deputies spotted a very expired, quote, winner license plate on a truck at about 12:30 this morning. And look at the photo, Scott. The license plate literally says winner.
Winner.
Winner. They stopped the driver.
It looks crumpled.
They write, "Long story short, he gave a fake name. The truck was stolen. Oh, and he had this much apparent meth. Deputies figured out his real ID. The investigation continues." Winner.
Jussie Smollett has had his conviction overturned. The conviction against actor Jussie Smollett in a case that accused him of falsely reporting a hate crime to Chicago police in 2019 has been overturned by the Illinois Supreme Court over prosecutorial issues. Smollett's case was reviewed by the state's high court, which ruled today that the former Empire actor should not have been charged after he entered a non-prosecution agreement with the Cook County Attorney's Office. The judges noted that the case generated significant public interest, and many felt the case's original resolution was unjust. Quoting here from the Illinois Supreme Court, "Nevertheless, what would be more unjust than the resolution of any one criminal case would be a holding from this court that the state was not bound to honor agreements upon which people had relied." Dan Webb, who was the special prosecutor who brought the second case against Smollett, said he disagrees, quote, "with the court's factual and legal reasoning." They argued, by the way, that when the special prosecutor charged him in a second case, that amounted to double jeopardy. And that is why
it doesn't mean
his conviction was overturned.
It doesn't mean he didn't fake the, quote, I don't want to call it an attack or a crime. I don't know what to call it.
Well,
fake what happened.
It was a fake attack. It was a fake hate crime.
A technicality.
Yes, because there were two other men, I believe they were brothers, who were involved with staging this attack on Smollett as he was walking home late at night after having been to a cafe or something like that. Terrible story out of Kansas City. One man was killed. This is from the Star. One man was killed as he was attempting to cross a highway in a wheelchair in Kansas City last night.
I saw that.
Officers responded to a crash on southbound 49 Highway just before the Red Bridge exit around 10:30 last night. For unknown reasons, a man in a wheelchair was crossing the highway from the east to the west, according to the police department. A silver Chevy traveling south on the highway merged toward the right shoulder to yield to a fire truck that was running with emergency lights and a siren. The driver of the Chevy did not see the man in the wheelchair and struck him with the front of his vehicle. The man in the wheelchair was taken to a hospital. He was pronounced dead shortly thereafter. The driver of the Chevy was uninjured in the crash. This is the 84th traffic fatality in Kansas City this year alone, according to the
last year was bad, and I don't know that we're trending any better this year. You probably heard this in Dan's newscast, but I want to just mention again that there has been an arrest in the rape case out of Overland Park, and then I do have an open statement to all of our friends in the media, and I would include KMBZ in this critique that I think is warranted.
Okay.
We have a name. And did Dan have that in
his
newscast? His mugshot has been released. I do not think this is going to be the first time he has raped a woman.
We don't know that.
My hat's off to the Overland Park Police Department, apparently the KCK Police Department, and all of the partners that helped at least get him off the streets, okay? My issue with all of the coverage after that woman survived what, Scott, you and I cannot even imagine what that woman has survived.
He's accused of breaking into her apartment or house.
Home.
At 2:40 in the morning.
Yes.
Earlier this week, and sexually assaulting her.
He is 37-year-old Gabriel Hernandez. We don't yet know why KCK was involved. You know, we're going to get some more details on this. I am begging the media two things. Please stop using the token, lazy, throwaway phrase at the end of every story that I have read that the victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
How about just was taken to the hospital?
I mean, wow. Of all the times that we need to do better, it's with that line. That line has ticked me off.
I hate that line.
For the last 24 hours. She was in bed in her home when a stranger broke in and savagely attacked her for not an insignificant amount of time. Not that it would be any better if it was quickly, Scott. I mean, we have to do better in the terminology that we use when a crime of this nature happens. She survived, thank God. was able to give them this description. Again, police did great work, and within about 48 hours, he is now behind bars.
Well, we had a picture of him from a nearby convenience store within less than a day. What's the second critique?
It's insensitive, and it just bothers me.
This case included,
it's just a throwaway, stupid line that doesn't need to be there.
Not in this story. No.
And the the trauma. There are people close to me who have survived horrible things, Scott. Yeah. The trauma that comes with that, it is so flippant to say, victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. What that is police speak, and it does not belong in any of the copy.
And I'm going to broaden this out just a little bit if I can, since we're critiquing the media, which we love to do. I hate that line, period. What are non-life-threatening injuries? The only people on this planet who use that term are the police and the lazy reporters who repeat it. That is it. This story, not included. In a story where somebody is injured and they're going to live, why not just say, authorities say or police say that the victim was taken to the hospital and is expected to live? That's how normal people talk. Nobody ever says, somebody I knew was badly hurt, you would not come up to me and go, well, does he have non-life-threatening injuries or life-threatening injuries?
I know. And what drives me crazy about it is everybody listening that is in this business knows that, yet it keeps seeping its way into...
It's like a virus.
It is a virus. Well, and we've reached out to the Overland Park Police Department.
Yeah.
Thank God he is off the streets.
Amen.
I will tell you this right now. There ain't no way this is the first time something of this nature has happened. I pray it will be the last because he goes away for the rest of his life. That's what needs to happen here.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Let's go to Mark in Oak Grove. Mark, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
I'm going to say this carefully. My heart goes out to this girl. I can't imagine. I don't even want to try to think about it. My heart goes out to her. And Dana, I'm right there with you. I mean, God, I love you. You think like I do. But here's my thing. Rather than getting upset about the language they use, why don't we try to get upset about the fact that if found guilty, he's going to go to prison. He's going to get an education. He's going to get, meet new people. He's going to get out. He's going to do it again. Even if they deport him, he's still going to come back.
Whoa, hang on. Hey, we don't know that he would do it again. We got to be very careful here with our language. Okay, and we don't know that he's an illegal immigrant.
I do not believe that is the case, actually.
I'm going about 10 different directions. My thing is, if there were stiffer punishments in this country for crimes like that, people wouldn't commit those crimes anymore. I mean, they're going to prison if found guilty. Well, what happens? Well, nothing. He's going to sit there his whole life. We're going to pay for it. If you start hanging, not so much hanging, but if there were stiffer punishments.
Yeah. Mark, thank you for the call. I will say it again. I do not think a perpetrator of this nature wakes up one day and up to that point has had a completely law-abiding life and decides to break into a stranger's home in the middle of the night where she is sleeping in her safe space and do what he did.
Allegedly.
I think, we will learn more in the coming days. There is no way this is the first time this has happened. There's no way. The second sort of criticism I had, which is just mind-blowing if this happened, was that I heard that, we always are given a 100 block where something like this happens, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we need to do better in cases like this. I don't know, number one, with the flippant language that drives me crazy when describing what has happened to this woman. And number two, I hope that the media has avoided the immediate vicinity where this happened. When you're doing a live report, Scott, you can set up somewhere east of Oak Park Mall. You don't necessarily have to set up in the 100 block where this happened. And that would be the only...
I don't disagree.
Only other thing I would say I about that, this. I thought they were. This is such a violation. Like, just.
Yeah. I actually thought the police, and this is a mild criticism of the police, I thought they were a little bit too descriptive of the location. And I mean, by giving not only the.
But did they do that to the police's credit because they were so desperate to figure out who did this? And anyone in that vicinity at that time, was it 2 a.m.?
2:40.
If you saw anything, if you were out driving, if you're a DoorDasher, if they, you know what I'm saying?
They could have said near,
Uber driver.
They could have said near 95th and Quivira.
Yeah. Maybe.
Not been so specific about the block and the exact street where this happened.
We just need to do better. And, you know, my hope is she is a survivor. She gets counseling. She moves on. Would you ever go back to that house? I wouldn't.
Oh, God, no. No. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Quentin, Dana Wright, my name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.